Unit 8-11, Pilot Testing and Full-Scale Deployment. In this final unit, we will discuss pilot testing, touching on identifying, training, and installing the EHR system for your users who will become your pilot program testers, soliciting feedback from those users to tweak the system, tweaking the system, and beginning full deployment. We will also look at the two most common deployment strategies, the Big Bang and the phased, as well as the importance of training end users prior to the final rollout. Lastly, we will close the loop by highlighting some tips for successful deployment and some post-deployment initiatives to undertake. As the rollout date approaches and internal testing winds down, at some point real users must be allowed to interface with the new system, take it through its paces, and provide feedback. We call this process pilot testing. Pilot testing is designed to catch and correct potentially costly errors before they are magnified through full deployment. Pilot testers not only put the system through its paces at a technical level, but also reaffirm that the efficient workflow practices have been adequately modeled during development. Defining a pilot testing group is largely dependent on the organization's size, structure, and its priorities. In larger organizations, consider creating some sort of steering committee comprised of clinical, administrative, and information technology leaders deeply involved in the selection process to assist with identifying pilot practices or departments. Developing and using a readiness assessment prior to the pilot testing phase can be beneficial for assessing the technical capabilities of the practice's staff and to identify technological shortfalls for each department that may need addressing prior to the rollout process. The readiness assessment can also help devise a final rollout strategy by identifying which departments are more willing and capable of more ambitious rollout schedules and which departments will need additional readiness efforts prior to the implementation. Training for end users is critical for a successful software rollout. The initial training session should also be used to identify expected changes in workflow the user may need to address. It's only natural for people not to retain many of the details during the initial training session, so the initial session should be followed with additional sessions as the rollout date approaches, so the user feels reasonably comfortable operating the system without being fully dependent on the rollout team. Teaching complex skills like efficient physician documentation or note writing can be started with the initial training and then advanced with briefer updates. While some EHR skills apply to all users, certain distinct user groups such as receptionists, records personnel, medical assistants, nurses, and physicians will benefit from training customized for them. Many rollout implementations use a train-the-trainer approach, in which a core group of people are trained directly by the vendor. This group, in turn, trains the rest of the users at their site or sites. Training can also be done classroom style, via the web, or one-on-one, depending on your resources and inclinations. Sometimes a variety of training methods can be engaged to better reach the workplace staff, each with his or her own preferred style of learning. EHR training time will vary depending on each user's responsibilities. For example, at least one institution raised their training allocation from 4 hours to over 10 for physicians after identifying comprehension issues surrounding different forms used for documenting and prescribing medications, along with a variety of other tasks. As stated earlier, the workflow and pre-implementation training should be adequate enough to enable the staff to retain enough information to comfortably use the EHR with minimum support from the implementation team, who will be busy mitigating other technical issues. In most ways, you should consider the pilot test of your EHR as a mini trial run of the final rollout strategy. Begin with setting your pilot implementation dates and setting up training sessions with project users. Here are some important tips about your pilot installations. Be sure that your pilot users understand that being selected as a pilot site means being flexible on timelines and functionality. The implementation or rollout team should develop a detailed plan for addressing both perceived and unperceived issues that might arise during and immediately after the rollout process, including a downtime plan should the EHR system need to be taken offline to resolve any technical issues. You should communicate in advance to your pilot users who to contact should issues arise during the rollout period, and make sure adequately trained technical support teams will be available throughout the transition period to quickly address any user or system issues. A standardized communication process should be in place for internal departmental communications and feedback centralized around an EHR implementation clinic liaison. Having a single liaison between the EHR team and the clinic undergoing implementation helps facilitate more effective communication between these two entities. Everyone affiliated with the EHR implementation project should be aware of the policies and procedures that underlie the decisions made at the organizational level regarding the EHR and its implementation. A formalized orientation process should be developed for new members joining the project. There is a trade-off between complexity and additional content in the EHR functionalities, particularly in the clinical decision support applications. While it is important that the EHR not intimidate a first-time user, it is also important to remember that as users become more familiar with the system, they will learn and come to appreciate the advanced options and functionalities that might have appeared unnecessary at first. Complex modules such as charge capture may be deferred until later during the implementation process. During the decision-making process at both the organizational and individual clinic levels, as many people as possible should be involved, representing the views of physicians, nursing staff, administrative and financial staff, and all others who use various functions in the EHR regularly. Decision support incorporated in your EHR content, including medication dosages, disease management, diagnostic test accuracy scales, and other medically based instructions, should be reviewed by independent experts to ensure that prescription errors are not programmed into the system. This is particularly true for in-house applications. Ask users to report any potential mistakes. It's important to remember that even during the pilot and beta phases of a project implementation, system stability is essential to gaining user confidence in a system. Even brief periods of instability can leave a negative impression on your users long after the instability has been resolved. Once the pilot implementation has occurred, it is important to listen to your pilot user feedback to isolate and resolve potential glitches in the system or make interface adjustments to resolve severe workflows issues which may have arisen. Try not to get wrapped up in customization in the early stages, however, as it takes time to adjust to new work patterns. Actively solicit feedback so you can implement improvements before problems arise. Take nothing for granted. Slow resolution may demoralize users and result in low adoption. Surveys are helpful for collecting user feedback, and they can address such topics as workflow changes, user interface problems, along with adjustments the users would like to see made, and data errors the users have noted. Keeping a journal of experiences and processes is important for keeping up with the rich multitude of issues you will encounter throughout the pilot, and a formal post-implementation review can also help in capturing and organizing this data. Now that we've discussed the process of pilot testing, Let's move into issues to consider when planning a full-scale deployment. The first is what to do with your legacy data. Established practices have mountains of data stored in old charts, but it's generally not practical to transfer all that data to the EHR given the resources and expense required. Create a clear plan for defining what portions of current charts you'll transfer and from how far back in the past. You will also need to decide which records will need to be incorporated as part of the initial rollout of your EHR versus which records will need to be migrated over in phases. Your decisions about what to transfer and when will be determined by practice preferences, physician needs, and available time and money, since such data transfers can require significant resources. When evaluating how many resources to invest up front, however, consider that when your practitioners have to reference those paper charts later on, that carries a significant cost as well. The more data loaded into the system at launch, whether by you or the vendor, the sooner you'll see benefits of the EHR. And, regardless of how much data you choose to preload, plan to keep the old paper charts accessible for the near term. Choosing to transfer none of the data is the cheapest option up front, but it will mean more resources later on in accessing those old charts. Keep in mind that not all parts of the old charts will need to be accessed with equal frequency, and that your practitioners will get more bang for the buck if high-value data such as medications, medical conditions, immunizations, and allergies are available digitally. Focusing on these data can be an effective way to save resources in the data transfer. If you choose to transfer all types of chart data, consider limiting the scope in terms of time, such as from last year. In general, the older the data are, the less likely they will need to be accessed. So the biggest bang for the buck should come from transferring the most recent data. One of the difficult decisions of an EHR implementation is the deployment strategy. Do you take the big bang approach and get it done with quickly? Or do you phase in new processes and technology over time? Should all physicians go on the system at once? Should you start all functions at once? Ideally, all physicians in the office should go on the EHR together. Otherwise, the office staff will need to run at least two different sets of processes for paper-based physicians versus EHR physicians. That would not only be confusing, but also inefficient. However, if your practice has more than one office, there is no overriding decision that all practices have to go on the EHR at one time. In fact, depending on your practice's resources, you might be wiser to roll out one office at a time. A few practices have successfully implemented all functions of an EHR at once, in a big bang. The consensus, however, is that success is more likely if you implement functions sequentially in what is known as phased implementation. This is especially true in larger organizations where big bang implementations, despite careful planning, have led to chaos in the practice, where clerical staff, nurses, and providers' work nearly ceased. Obviously, this can result in substantial productivity losses and inability to retain training. When applying the phased implementation approach, one typically starts by introducing less interactive functions like scanning and result viewing, and then moves on to more interactive functions like inter-office messaging, prescription writing and documentation, or writing notes. A lot of variability exists in this area, perhaps due to variation in the EHR software. With regard to specific phased implementation strategies, you should pay close attention to your EHR vendor's recommendations. Here are some tips for a successful implementation. Train, evaluate, and support your users throughout the implementation process. This is essential for optimizing user efficiency, effectiveness, and system adaptability, as well as for building user confidence. Test your system thoroughly before and after the final rollout. and resolve any issues, problems, or bugs as quickly as possible. Remember that end users determine the success of your implementation. Support them from the beginning of the implementation, throughout training, and in post-implementation support. Realize that implementing health IT is not the ultimate goal. The objective should be to maximize efficiency, quality, and effectiveness of your care delivery processes. Support the implementation through proactive organizational policy. Facilitating user adoption through training and continuous support can help you achieve optimum results. Just because the rollout has been completed and your IT teams are beginning to settle into normal routine, the job is only beginning. Now your plan has officially entered the maintenance and update phase of the product lifecycle. There are some tasks you should do to close the gap. Now is the time to run another baseline test to determine any shortfalls associated with increased system usage. Based on these new baseline projections, decide where you stand for further growth. Are your system resources holding within projected margins? Solicit user feedback as soon as you feel they've become acclimated to the system. Examine the feedback for common workflow and technical issues that need resolving. Continue to provide an avenue for users to submit feedback and suggestions for improvements. Hold a project review meeting with all the key stakeholders and implementation players. Discuss what went smoothly and where things went wrong. Finally, hold a customer acceptance meeting with the vendor. Sometimes called a closeout meeting, this can be an opportunity to summarize your user acceptance testing and finalize customer service agreements. In this unit, we discuss pilot testing and the importance of using a process involving users and automated testing procedures designed to catch and correct potentially costly errors before they are magnified through full deployment. We also discuss various training methods designed to get your user up to speed with the new system prior to rollout and how thorough training can minimize loss in productivity and expedite the adoption process for your users prior to full deployment, including train the trainer, classroom style, the web, and one-on-one sessions. Next, we touched on different implementation methods, the Big Bang and the phased rollout methods, along with the pros and cons of each. We also discussed some implementation tips, including understanding the importance of satisfying your users through efficient support strategies, and remembering to stick to the real goal, maximizing the efficiency, quality, and effectiveness of your care delivery processes. Lastly, we outlined some very important steps during the post-implementation phase. Holding a project review and maximizing user acceptance, creating baselines to assist with identifying system issues, and beginning the maintenance and upgrade regimen that addresses errors and workflow issues in a timely manner.